You guys know what this is? This is a magnifying glass. It even has a little light there. I had to replace the batteries, by the way. But it has a little light there. So I have realized that the older I get, my glasses tend to get weaker. I don't know why that is. That being the case, I also realized I love spending time in my Bible. I got this Bible like 30 years ago. So you know what happens when you have a Bible? For me, if you were to look at it, you can see it, but in the middle of these pages, like right here on the edge, they're absorbing the oils from my fingers from, you know, thumbing through the pages and turning and such. So consequently, the oils from my fingers start leaching into the pages, and everywhere that I have written, and I do have a lot of writing in my Bible, the writing starts dissipating, and it's hard to see. So I pull this baby out, I click that light, and I say, oh, that is the word see, Psalm 41, verse 18, guys. All right? And so that's what I do. I love this because I encounter many times while I'm at my desk looking at things, and it's just really hard to see it, and I just get that magnifying glass out. Now, let me tell you another thing that I have used. I don't do this anymore, by the way, that I've used my magnifying glass. When I was a kid, how many of you used magnifying glasses when you were a kid? How many of you put it up to the sun and looked at it like that? No, your mama said, don't ever do that, right? But of course, that means go ahead and do it, right? So anyway, I just thought magnifying glasses were very cool, and my older brothers passed down a very strong tradition to me as a younger Curtis kid, and that was, as you watched the ants cross the sidewalk, hold on right there, buddy, and then eventually, sorry, they pop, and for me as a kid, I just thought that was so cool. Yeah, so what is my point? Magnifying glasses make things larger, and they bring things into focus. They make things larger so I can read them, and they bring things into focus should you ever want to get something hot. Psalm 34, verse 3, the very first word in that verse, in my Bible it says glorify. Now, that is a nice translation. That's just, however, an inaccurate translation. What it really means in the Hebrew is gadal. And gadal means to make larger, to make greater, to magnify. And the Bible here, I'm going to just read these three verses to you. When I come to verse 3, I'm going to change my word here to magnify. That is, I think the ESV and the King James use that word, maybe the NASB, I don't know. But for some reason, the NIV decided to break pace with everybody else, and they wanted to just translate it glorify, is what it is. Let me start. I'm just going to read these three verses to you. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. To speak this way, really what he is saying is that as we do this, as we speak, as we magnify, we do this in such a way that highlights, that emphasizes, and makes larger this amazing God that we serve. Not that he needs enlargement, but he needs that from our perspective. You see, I am making much of God. Our tendency is not to make much of God and what he is doing, but we make much of our problems, our hard situations, the time yesterday in which the car broke down and I had to walk 2 miles. Yeah, it's that type of thing, and we tend to, that's what we talk about. Have you ever had a problem? Okay, generally for me, it has to be emotional. But if it is, I tend to think about it all day. You ever do that? You think about it, you rehearse it in your mind, you play it over, after a few hours, I realize, wow, I keep thinking about this. I need to stop this. And I just pray, God, help me. And I'll be honest with you, it's really hard. And generally throughout the day, it just keeps coming back. No, I'm not going to think about it. No, I'm not going to think about it. And I tend to magnify my problems. And God is here saying, don't do that. Magnify the Lord. Magnify what he has done. So it says to extol him all the time. All the time, church. That's what should be coming out of your mouth. So here's, as we go through this message tonight, and I'm actually going to be shorter with my message tonight, but as we go through this, I would like you to just ask yourself this question. Is this what I tend to do, or is this what I tend to do? And hey, if we're doing this, and God says, no, I want you to do this, think about how you can do that. All right? Think about it. Here it says that we extol him always, we praise him like constantly, we boast in the Lord. That means we brag about him everywhere we go. Have you ever done that? Like maybe as a kid, I would like to tell stories about my dad. I would like to tell stories about my heroes. I would boast about them. And yes, I would boast about me if I happened to ever have won anything. That was my problem, but when we boast, we're doing it because we're enamored, because, like, this is, like, my favorite person. This is, I want to tell you about this. I want to tell you about this person. I would brag about my wife. I mean, I still do. But we brag, we're called to brag about the Lord. Boast in him. Make him famous. This is what it's calling. Go around and tell people about how good he is. Don't go around constantly telling people about how bad your day was. And don't get me wrong, God understands we can have really hard days. Remember when I preached through Romans 8, we can never have a bad day. Not if God's on our side. Not if God is taking all things and working them for our good, then it is a good day, even though it was a hard day. So let's boast about the Lord. Okay, but let's be real. All right, be real. There's going to be certain people in your life you're just going to confide in, and we're just going to tell them how hard something was, how much it hurt. Okay, God doesn't say don't ever do that. We bear one another's burdens, even the emotional ones. For me as a guy, sometimes I've found that to be difficult, but I've been married long enough, I think I've gotten a hang of it. So consequently, we do want to talk about these things, but we focus, we brag, we boast, we magnify the Lord. And we make much of him. And that causes us to bring things into sharp focus. So here's what I want you to do. At least in your mind, I want you to create two lists. One list is the list of the hard things that you have gone through this year. The hard things that you have gone through this year. Maybe you had a pet pass away. Maybe you had a loved one pass away. Maybe you got fired from your job. Maybe your boss chose not to give you a raise and you felt that you were more than worthy of it. And he came up with some excuse. List down all of those things that you would say were very hard this year. You didn't like them. They're not going to be on your wish list when you get to heaven. All right? On the other page, I want you to make either write it down or make a mental note of those things that God did this year that were so good. As you're doing that, I just want you to make a mental picture of it. How long is this list over here? That's the struggles and hardships and the bad things. And over here is all of the good things and all of the blessings that you have received. I want you to compare them. How long is this list and how long is this list? You doing that? That's a hard thing to do, I realize, because you're not writing them down. If your list of all the bad things is a whole lot longer than the list of all the good things, I think you're missing the good things. I think you are failing to magnify the Lord with me. And he doesn't just say magnify, he says glorify the Lord or magnify the Lord with me. So guys, let's talk about the Lord. Let's magnify him together. Let's talk about the good things that he has done. And my goal is that we're going to have time to do that tonight. But we spend too much time talking about these really hard things. So can I just tell you this? When we focus on our problems, when we're using that and it brings sharp focus to our problems, that is all you're going to see. Literally, you could demonstrate it. You go like this, right? And then when it comes into focus, everything else in your vision gets blurred. What do you see? What's in the magnifying glass only. You don't look at a magnifying glass with both eyes. You look at it through one eye, and you begin to get tunnel vision. This is what happens when you magnify anything. But if you magnify the problems, it does something in here. It captures your heart. It sours your attitude. You start to complain. You get discontent, even angry. Well, how many times have you thought about a problem? It's happened a long time ago, and it's just this thought. It keeps coming back, and now you start entertaining it. And it happened years ago that someone did, and you're thinking about it. And before you know it, you're angry at that person. Well, I have some to say about that. But sometimes, yeah, so that person comes into the room and you're angry at them and they're like, what did I do? Yeah, what you did was 3 years ago. Anyway, it's so easy for that to happen. And for me, that happened last night. I was just thinking about something, and it was like, boom, before I knew it, man, it was so magnified and gave me laser focus on a problem or several problems, and I just had to step back and say no, because you know what happens? That starts getting into anger, pity parties, woe is me, look at my hard struggles, God. It does. And I'm going to just tell you this. When you start feeling that sense of self-pity, that is going to be a clear indication. Guys, run from that issue. Just get your mind on something. I don't care what you do. Get your mind on something else. Because that is going to give you laser focus on a problem, and it's going to become self-pity or pity parties will destroy your heart. It'll destroy it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I remember reading a book that emphasized this idea. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for those of you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, because the devil does a lot of bad things in our lives, and I don't think we need to give him any credit for it. But in those circumstances, I want to give God praise. I want to look around and I'm going to say, I am not going to focus on that devil, because that's what he's going to want to do. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on this, and I'm going to start thanking him for this over here. Can I just tell you the quickest way out of a pity party, the quickest way out of the doldrums is to just start thanking God over and over for those things in your life. I mean, we have one day a year devoted to this. Guys, let's make this a regular, a daily practice. If we fail to do it, we're going to hone in on those problems, and it will mess with you. It'll mess with your mind. It will mess with your heart, your focus, your perspective on life. It will interfere in your relationship with God. Look at the Moses generation for 40 years. Oh, they didn't have a little one like this. I think each of them handcrafted a huge one. And that's what they did constantly. They just complained. It destroyed faith. So give thanks in all circumstances. But this is not a magical formula. Oh, if I just thank God in this circumstance, it's going to turn around and be okay. Have you ever thought that? Oh, the Bible says, I'm just, thank you, Lord, for all these things in my life. Okay, God, now take care of this problem. And he doesn't. Has that ever happened to you? That's because we're treating it superstitiously. This is not a magical formula that wipes like a magical wand and wipes your problems away. here's what it will do. It may not change your circumstances, but it will surely change you. That's the key. See, when we magnify God, he doesn't need our praise. God's not up in heaven sitting on his throne. Nobody praised me today. He doesn't have a bad attitude. Man, I've had a really bad day today. Nobody praised. No, God doesn't need your praise, but he commands it of you. Why do you think he does that? Because you need to praise him. I need to praise him. I need to constantly praise him throughout my day. Seriously, I just step back and I say, thank you, Lord, for this and for this and for this, because I see myself starting to focus on the problem. And I'm just going to be honest with you. When my kids did artwork, there was this tendency in me to see what was wrong before I saw what was right. Now, my wife, she's been blessed to be either colorblind or whatever, but she sees it and she's like, that is so amazing. Bam, it goes up on the refrigerator door, right? And so you cannot see our refrigerator, by the way. Especially when we had younger kids, because all of the pictures, all of their homework with A's, my wife gave A's all the time. Sorry, Jude, she gave you A's all the time. Anyway, the truth was, they were all over our refrigerator with all of these magnets, because she saw the good, and I just had to train myself because I didn't grow up in a home like that. My dad wasn't like that. My mom was very quiet, so I almost didn't know what my mom thought, but my dad was very vocal about the problems. And being an English teacher, you know, if you said something wrong, he would be pretty quick to correct you. We don't say the word ain't in this house, Michael. Anyway, God had to change me. And I had to start seeing the positive things first, or if I didn't, I didn't say anything, at least I tried not to. Now, don't let me watch a Hallmark movie with you. Okay, I'm not even going to go into that. But I'm working on it, okay? My daughter over there helped, my wife helped me, Michael. That's all I need to say. Okay, shut up. But I don't understand. No, I'm not going to say anything. And so I have to take my magnifying glass and I have to set it down and say, oh, or at least say, okay, well, here's the positives about this, okay? Their snow actually looks real. I like, okay. It usually doesn't, but in this movie it does. That's impressive. Anyway, but we have to train ourselves to see the good, because if we don't, it's going to rob us. We need to praise him, magnify him, make much of who he is and what he has done all the time, always, every day. This is what he's getting at in this psalm here. I will extol the Lord. How frequently, guys? At all times. At all times. And I will praise him, what? Always. And that's what my version says. Maybe your version says forever. I don't know. Always. Always. Last time I checked this word in the dictionary, it actually meant, here's a cool insight, it means always. Just so you know, write that down. It means always, constantly, like all the time. Always. Some of us have had some pretty serious tests this past year. I had a test, literally a test, and they found something, and I wasn't real happy about what they found. I was hoping that this thing on the back of my leg was something totally benign, nothing to worry about, and they said, yeah, Mike, not only is it a melanoma tumor, but it's large. It's very deep. It is half a millimeter less than high risk. And it's DNA related, not sun related. So you need to go on immunotherapy. And as they began to lay this out, and they have all of these statistics on a page and how they diagnosed it and such, I just began to realize, whoa, I've had relatives die of cancer. My brother Dan died of cancer at 53. My brother Rob was about my age, and he died, a little bit younger than me, and he died of cancer. Now, my mom and my dad didn't. But if I wasn't careful, I would start focusing on all of the what ifs. And I'm going to tell you what, you do that, and that will be your focus. And so here is something that I have had to do throughout this year. Number one, whenever there was something good that happened and a report, a test diagnosis that came back negative, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Church, let's get in that habit. Thank you, Lord. If you need a reminder to just carry around one of these little guys and just, what is it? Oh, it's a mag. I'm going to magnify the Lord. You just hold it up. I'm going to magnify the Lord. If you do that in the workplace, it might look a little weird, but you get the idea and you just magnify him. Magnify him all the time. Thank you, Lord, for this situation. Thank you, Lord, for how you worked this out. Some of those things, God still has not worked out the way he is wanting to. And because we don't see it, we assume that it just did not work out for you. That is totally contrary to the word of God. It really is. It is in the process of working out very well. And so we need to constantly be focused on what is good. And that's what my bout with cancer has been. Man, I have seen the doctor at least 20 times more than I have ever seen him, 50 times more maybe, than I've ever seen him in my life in a year. So, as you create those two lists, the question then becomes, which list is longer? Which one do you tend to focus on, talk about? Talking about focus, whoop, this way, guys, focus. Here we go. I thought about half our heads move this way. Don't worry about what they're needing to deal with. And so as we focus on that list, it is going to bring liberty. It's going to start rooting out the hurt and the pity party anger. It's going to bring joy. How many of you would like joy tonight? You'd like joy. How many of you would like peace? Raise your hand. Amen. You want to find yourself content about the struggles you're going through. What happened to all your hands? Content. See, that means I have to say it's okay. Or at least realize God's got this. And we're going to have to say okay. Yes, I believe it. Amen. Contentment. 2 Samuel 7:22. The Lord has visited David, and he has spoken to him about the fact that he is not going to build the temple of the Lord. He wanted to, but he was a man of war, and God wanted a man of peace whose hands were not bloodstained. And so he's going to have his son Solomon do it. And he says that he's going to bless his house. He is going, and this is kind of a word play because house is what is used to describe the temple, and yet house, that is the house of David, is also referring to his lineage. But listen to what he says here. 2 Samuel 7:22. How great you are, Gadal. Magnified. You are magnified. You are enlarged. You are great, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. And there is no God but you, as we have heard from our own with our own ears. And who is like your people, Israel? The one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt. So yes, this is reflect back on those times in the when you're conquering the land and you divided up the land amongst the tribes, and then you went in as a tribe and you destroyed the people. This is what God asked them to do. I'm not going to get into the reasons for it, but they dawdled. They eventually did it. But God is saying, David is saying, you know what? You redeemed your people, not just during the conquest, but you redeemed them from Egypt for this purpose. And you showed yourself mighty. You magnified yourself through your people. And here's where I'm going with this. God wants to use you to make him famous. He wants to do things in your life that you'll brag about him so that people will listen and they'll say, really? God did this? God changed your heart? God came through here? I'm going to encourage you to have several testimonies that at any given time, on an airplane or wherever you might be, you have only a few minutes. You have an opportunity. Sometimes, you know, when I'm buying something at Walmart, if I go through a teller, it's usually pretty quick because I'm not grocery shopping. It's not like 100 items I'm purchasing. It's a handful of things at the most. But if I'm at the bank, usually I have several transactions. And there, they will usually greet me and say, how is your day? Well, let me tell you. And I have an opportunity right there. And let's encourage you, have some testimonies like a quiver. Like you pull an arrow, I got five of them right here. Let me show you. And you share these testimonies, this one or this one or this one, because you want to boast about the Lord. And you want to make his name great, magnified. Let me do that for you. You don't have to tell them that. Let me tell you how good God has been to me today. Tell them that. Don't be afraid to tell them about God. This is what God did in my life. Just this past week, I want to tell you about it. You've got like 60 seconds. Can you do that in 60 seconds? So I'm just going to encourage you, learn how to tell these pithy stories in like 60 seconds to be able to make his name famous. This is what he's talking about here. God, look at all of you did. Look at how you redeemed your people and you took these horrible situations called slavery and a whole lot of horrible things that were happening with it and you pulled them out of that slavery. You purchased them as your own. You set them free. 10 plagues to demonstrate how mighty he was, and then he brought them into the land after 40 years of complaining, finally brought them into the land and again did all of these amazing miracles. God did all of that so that they would tell people, so that they would be a display of his splendor in this earth. You are a display of God's splendor. So if right now you're thinking, well, I have no idea what I would say to anybody. You've got a lot of work cut out for you right now. I'm going to encourage you, write down some things. Now, maybe you could write down one or two. In about 7 minutes, I'd like you to share one of them. Now, not everybody's going to have a chance to do that because we have only about 15 minutes to do that. But I want you to share something. We're going to have an open mic. And I want you to just boast about God. Tell us about something that he has done. And I tell you what, you're not just going to reminisce with us about that thing that he did in your life this past year, but you're going to encourage us. You're going to brag or boast to us about the Lord, and it's going to build our faith. You know, I've got a few shirts here. The thing about a shirt... Well, let me just say this. God is writing these miracles in their lives. God is writing stories of his grace in your life. It's kind of like wearing a t-shirt. When you talk about some of these things in your life, you are advertising the Lord. Which list do you have in front of you when you do that? Do you have the list about all the problems you've been through, or do you have that list of all the things that God has done, the air that you breathe? Which things do you talk about? Because if you talk about your problems and you're magnifying your problems,
you will not make God famous.
And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to just share a few t-shirts with you, because when I wear these t-shirts, I want them, because they're personal, I want them to see something about me being a child of God through these. Now, this first one is totally tongue-in-cheek. Mike Jeffords made this for me. And it is simply called the Sermonator. The Sermonator. Okay, you've heard of the Terminator, right? I don't need to get into that. Now, another shirt that's dear to me, Mary Smith gave me, and it's Mike Jeffords had his kids, instead of calling me grandpa, because he wanted to, you know, like uncle or whatever, he chose granddude. Whatever, Mike. So his kids call me, to this day, granddude. So Mary got that, and you can't read it because I've worn it too many times, but it does say granddude, the man, the myth, the legend. All right, I thought that was cute. But here's one that I do like to wear a lot, and I have worn this so many times. And it's this one right here, and it says, my lifeguard walks on water. My lifeguard walks on water. That's a great conversation starter. I want to live my life in a way that boasts about the Lord. I want to live my life in a way that advertises him well. I don't do that all the time. I wish I would. And if I'm usually, the Lord has at least brought me to this place that if I'm starting to do that, try and catch what I'm saying. How well do you advertise the Lord? This is my life verse. Jim had a t-shirt business, just testing it out. It didn't do as well as he was hoping. And this is my life verse. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. How are we advertising the Lord? Not with our t-shirts, okay, but with our lives. How are we living? How are we talking? Our words, the way we live, our perspective on life. Are we representing him well? I just want to end with this little nugget from 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 21. Now, you've heard this story so many times, so I'm not even going to get into the story details at all. However, no. So as the Israelites discover that there are three nations in the south coming up alongside the Dead Sea towards Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat hears about this. There's a lot of them. He cannot assemble an army that quickly to go out and meet them, but he has to. They're marching on Jerusalem, and somehow they have gone halfway without being detected. So he gathers the people. They fast and they pray. They cry out to God, and he makes a decision. As he gathers the people, we're going to go into battle. They're about 12 miles away. He's going to have the worshipers going before the army, not as human shields, as the Hamas do, okay, but because he values worship. Here's what they say as they're about to go into battle. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures for a short while, forever. His love endures forever. Church, here they're heading into battle against a larger army. They're not prepared. This is sudden. They got through somehow the spies. I don't know who is people, you know, the lookouts, whatever. And it comes to them. They have very little time to prepare. They can't gather their army. And so here's what they're going to declare. Give thanks to the Lord for his love, his covenantal love, the fact that he's called us out of Egypt into this land, and he protected us, he fed us the whole way, and he has been our God, and he has watched over us, and he has daily, constantly showered his love upon us. That's what we're going to declare as we are marching against an army larger than we are. I would think that if they won the battle, that's the song they would choose when they're going home. Yeah, see how God loved us? But that's what they're declaring as they're going into battle. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. Church, say that with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Say it with me one more time. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Forever, church. Forever and ever. Here's my question. In this moment, do you know his love? As you look around your circumstances, do you see his love? Because if you can't, you need to pull out your magnifying glass. So it will give you focus, and it will make much of all that God has done in your life. Because you're going to use one either to do it with your problems or to do it for him and make much of him and make his name great. Make him famous by the way you've chosen to live. We do that by giving thanks to the Lord, for his love endures. How long, church? Forever. Father, I just ask that you would encourage our hearts tonight. Give us glad hearts, joyful hearts. Give us hearts that refuse to complain. Give us hearts that are constantly filled with thanks in every circumstance. Give us hearts that magnify.